During his speech to the diplomatic corps on Monday, Pope Benedict spoke about religious freedom. One of the diplomats in attendance was the ambassador to the Holy See from Australia, Timothy Fisher. He says the international food crisis can affect religious freedom, as well as causing other instability. He spoke with Charles Collins about the speech.
They were of great substance. I am duty bound to and obviously reported them in absolute detail to Canberra, to Australia, to the Australian government, Australian Foreign Minister. They're not ones I can give a running commentary on, but I say that it was a comprehensive speech, a finite speech, and religious freedom is an area of great concern for the Australian government, for the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th, and there are already ramifications arising from the speech given just a few days ago.
There's been a lot of talk about the oppression, the violence against Christians in recent days. The Holy Father also talked about, let us say, a lighter religious discrimination that you find in the West. Things like, for example, putting religious freedom as a right as opposed to other rights. He also spoke, for example, conscience clauses that will exist usually for hospital personnel so they don't have to do abortions, for example. He also brought up campaigns in the West sometimes against religious symbols in the public space. What are your feelings? Do you think that this is a major crisis that's hitting Western countries?
It's certainly an area for legitimate comment and debate and consideration and one which is very dear to the heart, clearly, of Pope Benedict the 16th, as he's said in comments in a very vigorous last 6 months of last year when he covered off on so many things, and again in the formal address to the diplomatic corps on Monday the 10th of January 2011. And he reminded us that the Second Vatican Council said, by guaranteeing just religious freedom fully and to all, society can enjoy the benefits of justice and peace. And I think that broader statement needs to be put along the more specific references he made to the Middle East and the East, on the one hand, and the onward competitive debate between religion and secularism, more broadly defined, in the West. And I think the Holy Father's messages have been laid out very clearly. I've transmitted them to Canberra. I think the world needs to pause at this critical juncture of the 21st century to look at the raft of issues relating to human rights, relating to, and part of that, religious freedom, to make sure we do not lose the plot. And I'm charged with working and beavering away on religious freedom.
One thing I did want to talk about a little bit was the state of relations between the Holy See and Australia. In the last 2.5 years, they moved at a very fast pace, resident ambassador, World Youth Day. And last year, an encounter between the Holy See and Australia in the canonization of the first Australian saint. Can you tell us right now what the state is between the relations between the Holy See and Australia and how that has changed in the last year?
It has been a wonderful privilege to be ambassador during this period of great positive dynamic between the Australian government, the Australian Parliament, the Australian people, and the Holy See. And you've referred to the World Youth Day, lingering glory, lingering atmosphere of cooperation and liaison, and we wish Spain well as they prepare for later this year with the next World Youth Day. The cross has been returned from Australia safely. I physically witnessed a handing over on Palm Sunday last year, 2 years ago now. So I hope it's not going to be too hot in and around Madrid when the Holy Father visits there. But the canonisation was the one that exceeded all expectations. The Secretary of the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade in Canberra, Dennis Richardson, said to me, once the then federal election's out of the way and the grand finals of our sporting codes are out of the way in September, early October, don't be surprised by how quickly media's interest will turn to the canonisation of Mary MacKillop as Australia's first saint and how huge it will be across all faiths, and indeed across the whole of the community of Australia from east coast to west coast. And Dennis was right. We were overwhelmed with interest. We had 8,000 Australians here, only a handful of passports lost, no difficulties, and some splendid functions on either side of the Tiber.
Was this also a good opportunity for, let's say, members of the Australian public and also the Australian government to kind of have that encounter with the Vatican, with the Holy See?
It was, leading to a famous cartoon on about the 18th or 19th of October after the canonization, with the Holy Father sitting there and the former Prime Minister, Foreign Minister Kevin Rudd on the left, and Julie Bishop, the Shadow Minister for Foreign Affairs, on the right, absolutely speaking as one during the canonization functions, and the Holy Father observing, this must be yet another miracle by St. Mary MacKillop. But we also worked closely with Canada and the cause of Brother Andre of Montreal and my good friend, the Ambassador Anne Lay, and we worked together in a very practical way, exchanging information and liaison in the preparation of the functions and doing a debrief after the functions. And both Brother Andre, now Saint Andre, and St. Mary MacKillop had deep devotion to St. Joseph, and so it was quite a nice bit of synchronization. But Foreign Minister Kevin Rudd led the bipartisan delegation, stayed for some 4 days and four nights in a busy schedule for a raft of functions associated with the canonization, including opening the exhibition up at the Vatican Museum jointly with his Shadow Minister counterpart, Rituals of Life, which Father Mapelli and his team have helped prepared, 1925 artefacts sent here 100 years ago nearly, on display now in the Ethnological Museum of the Vatican Museum. And I strongly recommend that people go and have a look at these fabulous carvings, artwork, art on rock, right through to an extraordinary headgear from Papua New Guinea, probably the largest on display anywhere in the world right now, available just near the cafeteria in the Vatican Museum.
You earlier had mentioned the crisis in food security that's going on. This was an issue just 2 years ago, too. People always talk about this, and they always say it's going to get worse and worse, and now it is getting worse and worse. Can you tell us a little bit more about this problem?
Of all the issues that I have to deal with and I'm publicly instructed to deal with, this one is probably closest to my heart because I'm a farmer from Australia before becoming Deputy Prime Minister, before becoming now Ambassador to the Holy See, because I can see flashing orange and flashing red lights relating to the production of food in the world and the demand for supply of food and consumption of food as the population projections unfold over the next few years. We're going to have to double and more food production, and better still, make its distribution more efficient if we're going to avoid whole areas facing massive starvation and famine. And the prospect of world famine in many parts of the world is now a very realistic prospect. It's one that Archbishop Sanchez Sorondez, president of the Academy of Science, the Pope's Academy of Science, is very fixated about as well, has done a great deal of work on, and it's broader and deeper than any one aspect of the issue, such as GM crops, genetically modified crops, but it's much deeper set of issues than that. All I can say is that the Australian government remains deeply concerned at the unfolding circumstances and is continuing to supply very practical assistance for research and development in agriculture right around the world. But I just thought I would highlight that Rome is, yes, the Vatican, the Holy See, and the residence of the Holy Father, Castel Gandolfo, and the palace right here alongside the Tiber. But it's also the hub of a number of agricultural bodies. Biodiversity International, headquartered here. World Food Programme, headquartered here. The FAO, UN, headquartered here. IFAD, headquartered here. Now, these, the Global Crop Diversity Trust, really serious bodies punching away for helping to ease the burden of food security, to try and head off food insecurity, to head off famine. And there's a very important election taking place mid-year this year right here in Rome. It'll be the selection of the new Director General of the FAO to get it right and make as much efficiency with those sort of organisations right through to dealing with issues like transport distribution as the Indian railway system is further modernised to respond to the particularity of food distribution in India, the freight side. Places like Russia, Argentina, work going on as well. The Pope finished his address with a wonderful reference to the Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta and the centenary of her birth, which he pointed out was celebrated right around the world at places like Pristina, Tirana, and of course right across India. It's a reminder that the deep poverty engendered by the shortage of food in so many parts of the world today looks like getting a whole lot worse. With that, that will represent a threat to religious freedom, to economic well-being, to political stability of the world, to peace in the world, and let alone to justice in the world. So I will spend this next year of my work as Australian Ambassador to the Holy See on a range of issues, not the least of which will be the whole gamut of food security.
A final question. You're the ambassador from Australia. Of course, right now when people say Australia in the news, we hear about this horrible flooding that's happening in the state of Queensland. Can you tell us a bit more about what's going on there? What's the situation like?
The crisis, the immediate crisis, continues to unfold in Brisbane, but the specific set of peaks of the last 24 hours have now passed. But with further forecasts of rainfall and the like, and the huge task of cleanup, there's no letting off with regard to the impact of the massive floods of 2011 on Brisbane, on Toowoomba, and on so many parts of Queensland, parts of Victoria, and other parts of Australia. At the same time, as the Philippines, Sri Lanka, and Brazil have had heavy loss of life also from floods. And in fact, I have helped, and the Karavita community is convening a mass on Sunday at the Karavita Oratory, but just next to San Ignacio in Rome, on Sunday the 16th of January at 11 a.m. For the victims of floods, the Australian flood victims and flood victims at the start of 2011. And I look forward to that event in a couple of days' time. But nothing can take away from the agony, but nothing can take away from the spirit of the people of Brisbane and Rockhampton and so many places like Toowoomba and Dalby and St. George and many others as they seek to recover the situation after this devastating set of floods.